Nothing. God, what are you doing? This doesn't make any sense. Wouldn't we expect God's blessings upon Isaac to look a little more like the blessings God was providing to Ishmael? We would look over there across the road, maybe over at Ishmael's family and all the children that he's got running around the place, and they're all growing up, and, you know, he's got this prosperous, successful family, and here is Isaac and Rebekah all by themselves. And we might say, God, why wouldn't you do just even half, even a twelfth of what you've done for Ishmael? Couldn't you do that for Isaac and Rebekah? Remember, Abraham's still alive, too. Abraham didn't die till Jacob and Esau were about 15 years old. So here's Abraham alive, and Isaac probably wanted to give his father grandchildren to be able to see his grandchildren before he dies. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Grandchildren from me. I mean, you know, he's seeing Ishmael's kids all the time, maybe. Maybe they didn't spend too much time together, but, you know, he wanted to give his father grandchildren, and nothing. Maybe Isaac, perhaps, would question whether or not God was really blessing him. You see, but God was blessing him. God's blessing was upon him. So what does that tell us? It tells us that sometimes God's blessings look different than we expect. Isaac would have had expectations of what God's blessings would look like, and those blessings would not have been met. Those expectations, excuse me, would not have been met. Isaac would have had to have realized that his blessings, the blessings of God, looked different than he expected. And that is very true of the blessings of God, is that they often come in ways we would not expect them. At times, we did not plan for them. Even once Isaac and Rebekah did have children, they only had two. They only had the one pregnancy, which were twins, and that was it. They didn't get 10 or 12 or whatever. It was just the two. Well, you might stop and say, well, wait a minute, that's not very fair. I thought God was going to be blessing with a multitude of descendants. Hey, it's not our place to question God. We just have to look at the scriptures, and they say God was blessing Isaac. But that blessing looked different. It was 20 years of the desert for Isaac. That was God's blessing upon him. And while that might not look like blessing in the middle of it, later on down the road, maybe you see the blessing for what it really is. That's a little bit about the lesson of Isaac. What's the third person? We talked about Ishmael. Talked about Isaac. The third person I want us to think about this morning is me. No, not me, Jared Hinton. Me, us. Ourselves. Two important, significant, and powerful lessons for you and me from this one little 10-verse passage of a description and comparison of Ishmael and Isaac. The first one is that God redeems mistakes. God redeems mistakes. Though there are some consequences that cannot be changed in this life, God still brings great blessings and joy through failures. In spite of failures. All of us have made choices and decisions in our life that were wrong. All of us are sinful. All of us have failed somewhere, and sometimes those failures are really bad. But that is not the end of the story. God takes those failures, and somehow or another, he takes that big pile of mess, and he shapes it, and he molds it, and he moves over time and in ways we do not expect or see to bring, in the end, something that's good. Now, not to say that he wanted us to fail, not to say that it is God's will that we sin, but God can take our sins and our mess ups and our mistakes and take them and redeem them for his glory. Redeem them for his honor, for the glory of his kingdom. and for the blessing and joy of our own life. You see, many people stay away from God because they feel they have made too many mistakes. God couldn't love me. I'm just too bad. There's too many mistakes that I've made. God can't receive me or love me. That is one of Satan's most effective lies. But let me tell you, it is just that. It is a lie. It is a falsehood from the pit of hell to say that God can't receive me because I've done too many bad things. Or I've done just one really big one, and God could never love a guy that did that. A gal that did that. That is a lie. God wants us to come to Him. God redeems our mistakes and our failures, and He brings blessings from it. A teenage pregnancy, a crime committed, addictions indulged, and 1,000 other things that are truly and rightly called failures, mistakes, and bad choices. Those are the things that our Father in heaven loves to redeem, restore, and heal. He loves to take our wounds and our scars and our failures and faults and heal them and restore them and bring incredible fruit from what we thought of would have been a horrible failure and truly was. God brings fruit even from the dry ground. He causes even the desert to blossom and flourish. You want some biblical proof? Turn to Matthew chapter 9, verse 10. Let's see if Chrissy can be as fast as Matt. Ching. Matthew chapter 9, verses 10 through 13. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You see, you can't repent until you know you're a sinner. And it's those that have committed those really big sins, those really horrible mistakes, that are more apt to repent. That's kind of part of the key here. Jesus didn't come to call righteous people to repent, but he came to call sinners to repent. And the sooner we realize that we're sinners in need of repentance, the better. God came for the purpose of healing the sick. If you're whole, if you're good, if you're healthy, if you're fine, you don't need him. The fact that we've committed mistakes just means that we need Jesus, and he's the one, we are the ones he came to help. Jesus came for sinners as bad as you can find them. Jesus came for their redemption and the healing of their broken hearts. God redeems mistakes, friends. And what's the second lesson we learn for our life, ourselves, from this passage of Scripture? Here's what it is. Blessings often look different than we expect. The blessing of God, God's favor, does not always come the way we think. We all have expectations of what a blessing is supposed to look like. If the blessing of God rests upon a person, we expect that they would have wealth and possessions, overwhelming happiness, doors opening instead of shutting, success, a good family, great relationships, peace in their life, and everything going well for them, success in their job. All of these things we would say, well, that's an indication of the blessing of God. And we would think that someone who's God's favor rests upon and his blessing rests upon would have all of these wonderful things. And that is not always what happens. In fact, it's often not at all what happens. God often brings hardships, challenges, and difficulties to those whom he blesses. Those blessings are often disguised as hardships. But that doesn't mean that God is not blessing them. God's blessings are meant to bring us the greatest eternal benefit possible for ourselves and for those that we love. God's blessings are meant to bring eternal benefit. And sometimes that means temporary suffering. But that's still a blessing. We often cannot see the benefits of God's blessings until we're on the other side looking back. We can't see what a benefit it was to our life to have that hardship until we look back at it and see it now. I remember when I was working in Chicago, I had this principle illustrated to me in a very real way. I was working in Chicago, and through a longer story that I won't go into, some details there, I was asked to go home. I was given the opportunity for a fairly significant demotion, or at least a change of location, and I decided that I did not have peace about going in that direction. And so God, through his wisdom and guidance, basically I was fired. I was asked to leave. You don't have a place here anymore. We can't use you. You're not on the company page, essentially, was what was happening. Many, many people thought it was a mistake. All of my subordinates were upset about it. Most of the colleagues of my boss that had made the decision, they disagreed, as far as I knew. So I was asked to leave, and that was sent my life into, I was really confused and wondering, and what in the world is going on? It was just a couple months later, God took me to Georgia to be an interim pastor. And that, in and of itself, was a real blessing in my life. I learned many things, and it was a step in the direction that I really felt called to go. The first time I ever got to be the pastor at the church. Even though it was interim, I was still the pastor. And it was through my connections there I met my lovely wife. Found me a wonderful Georgia peach, and then the peachlets started coming. And now I have a whole basket full of wonderful peaches and great fruit that God has brought to my life, not only because I left Chicago and went to Georgia, but in part, God had a girl down there for me that he wanted me to find. He had a work down there that he wanted me to do, but he had to get me out of Chicago. And he taught me a lesson through the fact that here was a blessing from God, but I couldn't see it as a blessing at the time. At the time, I thought it was a horrible mistake. Those blessings that God brings to our life are often disguised as hardships and trials. And we need to remember that and have faith in the midst of them. Isaiah 55, verse 9. Isaiah 55, verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We probably hear that verse quoted an awful lot, but it's very true. And we need to be reminded of that. God sees things in a way that we don't. And we need to trust his point of view, his wisdom, and his love. We need to trust that to be the case. God's point of view is different than ours. His thinking, his ways are much bigger than we can quite grasp. As high as the heavens are above the earth, that's how much greater he is than us in his thinking and his ways and his wisdom. But can we trust that he loves us? Well, how about Romans chapter 8, verse 35? Romans 8:35 says this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That doesn't sound really like a person that's blessed by God, does it? Or maybe the blessings we expect to see are not always what comes. Verse 37, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We must have faith and depend upon the fact that God is loving us no matter what. That there is nothing that happens that separates us from His love. And therefore, all of those things are meant for our benefit, our eternal benefit. They are blessings of God, even if they don't always look like a blessing. Now, why did God choose to let Isaac and Rebekah have to wait for 20 years? Why did He choose only to give them 2 children instead of 20? Well, ask Him when we get to heaven. I don't know. I haven't gotten to that part of Genesis, I guess. But the truth of the matter is that God was blessing Isaac's life. But that meant that he had to go through 20 years of barrenness. He and Rebekah had to go for 20 years without any children. That was, maybe God was trying to teach him the power of prayer. God's blessings to us often look different than we think, but we have to trust that the wisdom, the point of view of God is greater than ours, and His love is everlasting and cannot be removed from us no matter what happens. That those hardships, those blessings in disguise are meant for our eternal benefit and the eternal benefit of those that we love. So where are you today? Where are you? Do you need the lesson of Ishmael in your life? That God redeems failure? That God takes poor decisions? Things that we've done that were wrong? And He's able to pour out grace upon those things and bring out of them great fruit, great benefit, great joy and blessings. A prosperous nation did Ishmael become. He wasn't the seed of Abraham, but he was still blessed of God. He was still granted great joys in life, even though his life, his existence, every day he got up, reminded his dad of the failure that his dad had. In spite of that, God still greatly blessed his life. What failures are in your life? What things are keeping you from God? And you say, well, that's just too big a mistake. I don't think I can really repent. I don't think God wants me because that was just too awful. I think that women who have committed abortions often struggle with that terribly. I killed my own baby. God can't love me through that. Well, that's a lie because God does every day. Hundreds and hundreds of women are brought to health and healing and hope. There's another sermon for you, 3 H's. Health, healing, and hope through the grace of God in the midst of their failure. I challenge you, if you got the courage, go to the prison nearby. Go to a jail. Go talk to the chaplains. Go talk to the Christians that are there in prison. And it took them going to prison for God to get a hold of them. But He sure got a hold of them. There are some godly men and women in jail that will never come out that are doing God's work in that realm. And you tell me that God doesn't bring redemption through failure and mistakes. Friends, you can't even get away from God's love if you go to jail. God still loves you. God still gives you grace, and he still brings healing and redemption to our mistakes. Don't let your mistakes keep you from God. For a righteous man falls 7 times, yet rises again. You can fall down, but it's the getting up that makes you righteous, or the laying on the ground that makes you wicked. A righteous man gets up after he fails. A wicked man just stays in the dirt. Or woman. Or maybe you are suffering a hardship or a trial. Maybe you are suffering through a challenge or a difficulty that you say, God, this does not at all look like a blessing. I can't imagine that you really are doing this for my benefit. Maybe you look at your life and you think, why can't I have those blessings those guys over there have? You compare your life to the way someone else's is going, and you think, what have I done that I didn't get to have such blessings over there? Why can't I have those blessings? Maybe you don't have the wealth you want. Maybe you don't have the relationship that you want. Maybe you don't have as many children as you wanted to have. Maybe you have too many. Why couldn't I have only had that many? We complain to God, don't we, when we start comparing? We need to stop and think about the fact, the truth, that God's blessings look different than we think. And that God often works in our lives in an unexpected way. That our lives are different than the lives of someone else. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. It doesn't mean that God is not blessing our life. Do you think that people like Johnny Erickson Tata, when she had her accident and became a quadriplegic, she became a quadriplegic. She could never use her arms or her legs ever again. Do you think she looked at that as God's blessing in that moment? When that doctor came and told her that in that hospital room or wherever she was, you will never walk again. You will never move your arms again. I'm not sure she looked at that as a blessing in that moment. But I imagine if you talked to her today and you said, but what about all that God has done since then in your life? She might look back and say, that really was a blessing. God was working in my life. God continues to work in my life. So don't think that just because hard things happen to us means that God doesn't love us anymore. Or that God forgot about us somehow, or God is not blessing us. Sometimes conviction of sin, repentance, drawing us to repentance, that's a blessing too. God's blessings are often disguised. They're often unexpected things in our life. Things that we don't think would be a blessing, but they are. It's God's work. It's God's love. It's God's wisdom poured out upon us. We need, friends, all of us need to trust God to know better than we do and to love us in the midst of those unexpected blessings, those hidden, disguised, veiled blessings. Trust God, friends. Trust God through those hardships. Sometimes that's all you can do. Sometimes that's it. I don't have a single bit left in me except to hold on to that rope and just trust in God. That's all I got to do. Well, friends, sometimes that's what God wants you to do. That's where he's trying to get you. Get to the end of the rope, tie a knot, hang on. That's where God wants us to be sometimes. Where are you? Where am I? What are we trusting God for? In each of these circumstances, we need to trust in the Lord through it all, through our failures and through our hardships that are no result of our own failure. Why don't you pray with me now? Dear God, Lord, I pray that if there's someone here who has been struggling to receive your love because of their great failures, because of some mistake that they continue to suffer from, I pray that you would bring faith to their heart, to trust in your forgiveness, to trust the fact that you still bring redemption to those faults. Lord, if there's someone here who is going through a difficulty or a struggle and is questioning whether or not maybe you still love them or you remember what they're struggling through, please remind them that you do, that you haven't forgotten, and that sometimes your blessings are disguised as hardships. I pray that you would please help us to learn this lesson today. Thank you for giving us just a snippet, just a glimpse of these important things in your word from the book of Genesis. Thank you, dear God. Please help us to trust you in the midst of all the hardships and difficulties we have. Help us not to forget to pray and to continually go back unto you, to the throne of grace, where we might find help in the time of need. Dear God, we just give ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you. We receive from you the truth, and we rejoice in it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.